Well, kids usually make something at school or whatever in some way for their moms. And one of my children came home with something they gave to Shelley this morning, and it said this, and I thought it was kind of neat. It said, "You hold." It is a little. Well, I'll say what it said first. It says, "You hold my hand for a short time, but my heart forever." And it had a little a flower. The main part of the flower, and then the petals were, it was actually Andrew, it was his hand that they traced and put behind it, so it was like, you know, the main part of the flower, and then it, his hand were the petals, and it was just a nice little note there, and I thought that summed up, you know, the role of a mother and the influence of a mother. You know, mothers have the children small for a little bit. A lot of times they're the primary caretakers. But the influence of a mother lasts a lifetime. And you see, and again, we flipped through the channels and there was NASCAR yesterday and we just had it on for a little bit, but they had this in-car camera of the feet of one of the drivers, which I guess is a new thing. I don't watch NASCAR. It happened to be on. We were actually trying to look at the Boston Red Sox game. But and, of course, today's Mother's Day. So one of the drivers on his shoes or whatever, they had written, "I love you, Mom." So that when they showed that cam of the guy's feet, you know, that he was talking to his mother. You see all the times on sports figures or whatever, they're telling their moms, "Hey, I love you." That, you know, they're on worldwide television. They'll say, "Hey, Mom." And there's a special place that a mother has in the life of a child and a special influence. And I just want to talk about some of that today, you know, as we honor mothers. Some of the mother's abilities that are unique, that women and men were made different. You know, God gave men certain characteristics and women certain characteristics, and they're made different for a purpose, and part of that is for child rearing. You know, a mother can multitask. And I know that can almost be a cliche, but it's true. Men cannot multitask like a woman. I mean, the men I know, myself, women, the things I can see Shelley doing versus what I can do. If I'm on a task, I'm focused on that task. Half the time, I don't hear what else is going on. She can. The mother can hear what's going on in the next room and at the same time be doing something and really giving a lot of attention to both. Now, I work with computers. I'm a computer engineer by trade. And, you know, we try to emulate that in a computer. You know, a computer really can only do one thing at one time. One processor can. Same with the brain. But, you know, you fake it so that if you move things in and out really fast, you know, you do something for 1 second, then do something else for another second, or really it's down to, you know, milliseconds and below. If you're doing something for 2 milliseconds, you got something else to do for 2 milliseconds, another thing to do for 2 milliseconds, well, the user can't tell that you're not doing them all the same at the same time. It looks like you're doing them all at the same time. Now we have multi-core computers where there's actually two processors. That'd be like giving it to two brains, but really even those things are broken down. So you have this illusion as if you're doing multiple things at once, and really you can only do things at once. But women are very good at that illusion. Really, women have they can only do one thing really at once, but they can break it up so that they can do two things at once. Well, that comes in really handy as a mother. And just a couple more things. They have intuition. That men, I don't know, I've seen certain things, you know, with my wife. She'll say something, she's got a handle on some situation that I don't know anything about yet, but there's a handle there, and combine that with being just led by the Spirit of God, that's a powerful thing, and you know, husbands would be wise to listen to their wives and children to their mothers. Before I go on, there's just a few other things I have on the list, but I just wanted to, let's turn to Proverbs 31. It's a somewhat familiar verse of scripture here. Proverbs 31, verse 10, and it's talking about the virtuous wife, and it talks about, you know, motherhood and just the role of a woman in many different ways. But in verse 10, I just want to read some of these verses. We'll read 10 to 12. It says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and does and not evil all the days of her life. And then skip down to verse 25. It goes on to say some other things that she trades and all this stuff, but really I want to focus on some other verses. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. On her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. You know, and there's several things there of what the role of what a virtuous wife and mother is like. And, you know, let's just go through a few things. You know, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies. Or, you know, rubies were more esteemed than diamonds back in the day because diamonds take a certain amount of work to get them polished up, and they didn't do that. I mean, the rubies and emeralds and stuff just looked a lot nicer before they really learned how to cut diamonds. Nowadays, you could say diamonds. I mean, diamonds are considered far more valuable, but really far more valuable than money. I mean, as we go through life, a virtuous woman, virtuous wife, this guy, he's saying that it's far more worth than any money, any amount of money, because verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. That she's there, she's faithful, she's there to help him, there to help him do. In part of these other verses, yeah, I read that she's a help and not a hindrance in everything. And in child rearing, the same way. In verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Another translation says everything she does is governed by kindness. When she's going around, she's known as a kind person. She watches over the ways of her household. She watches over the ways of her household. She knows what's going on. She's managing the household, but she's taking care that the important things are done. And does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she's not lazy. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Personality, not so much personality, but just the ability to really get in with people, or beauty, just the youthful appearance. We all know that passes, but that's idolized in today's society. You know, women that are 40 want to look like a woman that's 20, when a woman of 40 shouldn't look like a woman that's 20. There's nothing wrong with that. Women age, men age. There's something that shows wisdom, that shows learning, that shows that you've come into the tests of life and you've passed them. You know, a teenager hasn't experienced life at all. They haven't come up against any battles. They haven't had to, you know, keep themselves physically fit and hold down a job and do everything. These people that we look at are half the time fake. I saw a thing. Maybe you've seen it too. It was a little clip of video. They showed how they just took a person that was like, she was a pretty lady, but they took her, took a snapshot of her, redid her hair, did it, you know, a certain way. They took her original photo, redid her hair and everything. Then they took her picture, put it in Photoshop, elongated her neck, messed with her features, put all the right lighting on, took care of any blemishes, and then showed her and put her on an ad, like a cover of some makeup. And she looked like a supermodel. But it wasn't her. It was a completely fictitious person. And that's the kind of stuff that today people idolize and look at all that and say, well, that's they're looking at somebody that doesn't even exist, or some snapshot of somebody that has gone through hours of preparation to look a certain way, and then they compare who they have to that person, and that person doesn't really exist. Or it's some person, some role in a movie that somebody wrote that was this ideal behavior of a person. And then somebody is acting that out. That's just smoke and mirrors. Well, like, I mean, this isn't a new idea. This is back in Proverbs. This is, you know, many years ago. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. And the longer all of us live, the more you see this. It's the fear of God and the teaching of children to fear God that's going to last. When we honor God in our lives, that's what will last. That will outlast any physical attributes, any real accomplishments on our job, unless it's done in the honor of God and in going along His purposes. It's not going to last past our grave. People are going to forget us, but our children will live on, and their children will live on. Eventually, you know, whatever we teach them is going to be passed down. There's a heritage there that's passed down, and that is important. You know, we don't know what most people looked like beyond, you know, a little over 100 years ago. We just hear about what they did, great or small, and we don't know what anybody in this Bible that wrote anything in here or any of the characters looked like. That's not what lived on. Their day in and day out things, it's what they did for God that lived on. It's the heritage that we pass our children that we can give them the gift of believing in a God. Because there is another way to go, and it started from the beginning of creation. It started very quickly. People followed God, but then there was a branch of humanity that started off, and they went and they did not follow God. Right from the beginning. They started. Why did that happen? Because Adam's children, not all of them serve God. Those children of those children were taught from the beginning. Somewhere it started. They weren't following God. Well, then they taught their children not to follow God, and then they taught their children not to follow God. Pretty soon, you had the majority of humanity that did not follow God. How did that happen? It was because the children, you know, people did not teach their children. And mothers are vital in that role from the beginning. The man is out doing his job, whatever that is, but usually the mother is there at the beginning when all these questions of life that don't have anything to do with a job or don't have anything to do necessarily with intellectual pursuits, but questions of life are being answered. What, you know, when that mother is teaching the child that there's a God, and just from her example and just guiding that child, that is forming something on that child's heart. That no matter what happens in that child's life, it's gonna be very hard to be erased. Like we talked about we read that quote at the beginning. You hold my hand for a short time, but my heart forever. That isn't just natural. So we just want to liken that to just, well, mom, she's sweet and everything, you know, and she has a special place in my heart. That's true, but also what mom passes down to that child has a special place in that child's heart forever. Even after he becomes an adult, he is still going to remember what mom taught him for good or for bad. Either way, that child will go down. And I'll just skip ahead. We'll read this. I don't think you have to turn there because it's very short, but Proverbs 22:6 says this, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. Teach a child, Proverbs 22:6, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. Well, go ahead. You guys are all looking at your Bibles anyway. Turn back just a few scriptures. That never works to say don't look at it. So Proverbs 22:6. Actually, that's the Living Bible that I read anyway. So we'll read it in the King James. 22:6, it says, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the King James. The Living Bible says this, teach a child to choose the right path, and when he is older, he will remain upon it. And it's also true the other way. Somebody said this, I don't remember the exact story, but there was a service and some people got saved and somebody chose to follow Jesus and there was a conversation afterwards. How many people got saved in that service or whatever? It was a small gathering, and he said, "Well, 2.5." Oh, so you got 2 adults and 1 child? No, I got 2 children and 1 adult. The child has his whole life in front of him to serve God. If he learns from the beginning to serve God, he can go in the way of God for his entire life. And it can go towards God the entire life. The adult, for better or for worse, it's not that our lives don't count. It's just that we've lived half of it already. Or we've lived a portion of it already. It's never too late to turn to God. But if we can train our children to follow God, and to follow God and put the right ideas, put the right ideas about God, the things that we have to unlearn and that we are unlearning right now, that we've been lied to and we've been deceived by religion or by whatever source. If we can teach our children what the Word of God says about God so that God, they have a right vision of God, they don't think that God is out to get them or that God doesn't want them to have any fun, that we teach them that God is for their best interest, and if that they'll follow God and do what He says and follow His will for their life, they'll be happier and more prosperous than anything they could do on their own. If they know that from the beginning, they'll have other challenges, because there's challenges a second generation Christian has or a third generation that maybe a first generation doesn't have, because the first generation has gone through the fire. They've realized, they've come to a place and they said, I'm going to follow Jesus. The second generation may not have that, but if we can train them right from the beginning, that there's nothing more valuable. You know, an inheritance of money is not as valuable as an inheritance of faith in God. What does it matter? And I'm not saying it's not nice to have money. Of course it is. But if you go through life just living with all the finest things, but you don't know the one that created you, how empty is that? And that, and your life is being wasted. A person's life could be wasted that whole time with all this money because they don't know to use it for God. They don't know to use it to influence other people and their children for God, to do so that people, more people, end up with God in the end. Each one of our lives is powerful. A mother's life is powerful. It is not mundane to do that. Yeah, the things that we have to do, all of us, the day in and day out of life may be drudgery at some time, but the what we're doing, if we keep our eyes on the vision of what we're doing, that we are training and molding children in that case, or grandchildren, or whatever it may be, or you know, the job that we have, that we be sure that it is, we're using it to the glory of God, it is never drudgery. It might, something might seem like that for the moment, but if we keep our eyes on what the goal is, that ultimately people are important. And we're talking about mothers today, that when we keep, you know, when you keep your eye on the fact that the day in and day out, that the cleaning or whatever, the day job, whatever it is, it's really that you're molding a child, molding the next generation, which in turn will mold the next generation, which in turn will mold the next generation. And pretty soon you have hundreds or thousands of people that were influenced by your decisions. And that blows my mind. That is an awesome responsibility that has become more real to me as my kids get older, that you realize that your decisions affect generations. Whether you follow God or not affects generations. Your children, like it just said, mothers and grandmothers, your children will rise up and call you blessed because you chose to follow God. Someday in heaven, we will see clearly. We don't see clearly right now. It says in Romans, we see as through a glass darkly. We do not see everything as it really is, but one day we will, and we will see how things happen and how they came down and the real influences in our life. And we will, the mothers and fathers, but mothers, you will be called blessed for your decisions that were for God, to influence your children for God, to influence your children to serve Him and to give them right ideas about God. That there's nothing more valuable. Nothing. Your grandchildren will be influenced by your decisions. That is so precious. There is, I want to read you something along these same lines. It says, many godly men of past have been richly blessed by what they learned from their mothers. Consider the biblical characters Moses, Samuel, Timothy. The maternal influence experienced by these spiritual leaders bore rich fruit in their lives. Think too of men like Augustine, John Newton, and the zealous Wesley brothers. Their names would probably never have lighted the pages of history if it hadn't been for the godly women who raised them in homes where the law of love and a Christian witness were their daily guide and inspiration. Susanna Wesley, for example, spent 1 hour each day praying for her 17 children. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour each week to discuss spiritual matters. No wonder two of her sons, Charles and John, were used of God to bring blessing to all of England and much of America. I heard once, you don't know if some of these things are true, but Susanna Wesley, her, some of her quiet time, she had 17 children. Okay, by the time you have the last one, who knows what the spaces were, but it's not like she had probably 17 children running around at one time. But anyhow, she had 17 children. Who knows how many of them were running around. But she would put a towel over her head at times when she was doing certain things. And that they know, the children knew that that was, that the mom was spending time with God. Do not interrupt her at that point. And while she was doing the dish or whatever, she would be standing there, and they knew better. Don't mess with her at that point. She's going to spend time with God. She spent an hour a week instructing each of her children in spiritual matters. That's a tremendous investment. Pray. And it's not to say, well, we have to do that, or there's some model or some theory that we have to follow. No, it's just that probably seemed like drudgery at times. All she's doing is taking care of these kids, but she thought she had enough perception and spiritual understanding to know that what she was doing was not just about the now, it was about the future. And those children affected the world. But if you would have told her that, maybe she would have said, yes, I believe that. But there wasn't any concrete example that was going to happen in front of her. It was just life, like our lives. I mean, it's not pretty all the time. It's just drudgery. And, you know, a mother's life is not necessarily this life that, you know, the kids are always coming up and saying thank you. Maybe not when they're small or even when they're teenagers or maybe early. But I appreciate my mother and father much more now than I did even 5 years ago. Because I have kids, you start to see what your parents went through with you. All the dirty diapers they changed, all the things. Man, it's not easy to be a mother. It's not easy to be a father. It's, you appreciate your parents the further you go through life. Well, how much more, you know, your grandchildren, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren can look back and say, that's the woman. That's the man and woman that turned our family tree to genealogy, or to Christ. That we started becoming Christians. You know, I've been doing some work on my genealogy in the background. And when you see these people that are hundreds of years ago and where you came from and all this, and you realize, I mean, it's really, it makes life, you can appreciate the shortness of life when you start seeing how they're born, they die. This person was born, then they're dead. And years, decades are going by. And how those people's decisions, and the naturally they affect you, if they moved, your family tree moved. I mean, if they started out, you know, they came over from England, or they started out in another state or whatever, the whole family started out there. And they have to make a decision to move somewhere else. It affects us naturally, but it affects us spiritually. If a parent decides to go away from God, the whole family tree below that goes away from God, possibly. They moved, at least. If a person makes a decision to come to God and to say, this is the way things are going to go, everybody below is influenced. Somehow. I don't know about you, that's a marvelous idea. I mean, it's for good or for bad. But our lives, our influence is so important. And we're talking about mothers, that mothers have so much time with the children to impart a godly influence on them and to impart a reverence for God, a fear of God. To impart godly and a godly example to them, to impart appreciation for spiritual things, because there is We have to know this, that there is a whole, there are generations of people on this, on the face of the earth that will never turn to God now. We want to preach the gospel, but there are people that have hardened their hearts and will not turn to God because of where they came from and because of not just because of decisions of, we all have our own decision to make for Christ, but don't be thinking that our decisions don't greatly affect our children's, where they start in life. It changes. I mean, it's like, you know, starting a race. Yes, you can still win the race. You may just be handicapped. Some things may be in your brain that didn't need to be there. You can either start out with an understanding of God as he really is and as the Word of God states him to be, or in some other way, you know, there are cultures that don't even, that are completely away from Christianity. Well, that's why we pray. That's why we send people to shed the light there. But people made a decision way, way back somewhere, and they affected their children. I mean, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We all have a decision to make, but we all greatly affect the people under us. Do you realize, and this is, I don't want to get off on this because we're talking about Mother's Day today, but it just underlines the importance of what we're talking about. Do you realize that whole generations of people were wiped out, you know, in olden times because they did not serve God anymore? And do you know that was, you may wonder why would a loving God do that? That was the most, and that question, I you know, I often wonder that myself, and I had that question answered for me. That is the most merciful thing to do for those people, because God himself knew that all was going to happen is those people were going to breed more children that were going to go straight in opposite direction, and more children, because why? They were going to be raised in a certain way that it was not going to be possible for them to go away. So he cleaned them out, because it was the most merciful thing to do. There are always people that are going to go away from God Almighty, and they're going to go in their own direction. And we each have an ability, an awesome ability and responsibility to affect the ones, especially our children and the people around us, that our fork, just like Adam started out, and there was people that eventually, they did not believe God. They went away from God. But there was this, always a stream that did, always throughout history. It came down to where it was Noah, his three sons, because God, the world became so wicked that he wiped out the world. That was the most merciful thing for him to do, the most loving thing for him to do, because there would have been that many more thousands of people that would not know him. And so it became to where there was a flood, and it became Noah, his three sons, Noah, his wife, his three sons, their wives, and we started over from there. But then what happened? Eventually, from there, other people, they eventually went away from God. And they don't, there's people that don't acknowledge there's a God. They don't want to acknowledge. One day they're going to reckon with God Almighty. But our responsibility, and a mom's responsibility, is to teach that child from the time he can understand anything, which is right at the beginning, that there is a God. That he is a good God. That he's not to be feared in a, you know, afraid way. He's to be reverenced, but he is a loving God. He wants the best for us. He created us, and that we want to follow him. That is an awesome responsibility. Right from the beginning, that child is hearing the word of God. Right from that beginning, the child is hearing things that point him a godly example. He's hearing the right things. And we're all imperfect. I'm not saying we have to be perfect or we have to do it perfect. No, we're all imperfect. But just the influence, a godly influence, God will take care of the rest. Just give him a place in the Holy Spirit. Give the Holy Spirit things to work with. Just go toward, just be a godly influence. If we can do that as grandparents, as parents, mothers, that, there is nothing in the world more important than that. Nothing. No job more important than that. No amount of money more important than that. Because when it's all said and done, when all this is burned up, when all of it's gone, human beings will remain. Our spirits will remain. And we'll be either separated from God or with God. And God's just. God will, you know, God is a just God. So how, it's not that people don't have any less of a chance. People, God is just. But everybody is going to have to, be judged for what they did and what they believe. And if they accept Jesus and accept him as their Savior and the gap between them and God, they'll be reconciled. If they don't, they won't. But our responsibility is to point our children, the next generation, to him. That's what we'll live on. We can't even wrap our minds around it. It seems like something that's far and away, but every time somebody dies, every time somebody passes away and leaves this earth, it becomes real for them. I've said this before. I mean, there was a time, that, I don't know, I was sitting in Bible school and we were in this big auditorium. I don't know, the pastor, leader of that school was saying some things, and I can't remember exactly the relevant things he was saying, but he was talking about your influence and the criticalness of what you're doing and the decisions you're making and how important that is in light of life. And he was saying some things by the unction of the Holy Spirit, and they were more stern things, but they were what he needed to say to the people at that point, or to us. But it was dim in there, not dim, but you know, lights are what they are, and most of the lighting's on the stage. But I'll tell you what, when the lights came on, it was a certain atmosphere in there, but when the lights came on and people started going about their business, it was just as if it was just something that I saw like if it was a movie. And you see what you think is going on, like this is the scene that's going on, but suddenly the director says cut. And now the people from behind the scenes and come out and you see what really is happening. The reality of what really is. See, this is not reality completely. There is a spiritual realm behind this. There is a war for every person on the face of this, their belief, their heart. Every single day. That is what is really going on. Satan would like nothing more than to turn away children to go away from God. That is what's really going on. I was sitting there and it was just like, that's what's going to happen someday. When we pass on and if Jesus comes, that's what's going to happen. All of a sudden, you know, when somebody passes on, they realize this, but someday it's going to be on a worldwide scale that we're going to realize that this isn't all that there is. That it's like the light. The director's going to say, cut this life. We're going to see everything and all the background scenes and what's really going on. And we're going to see what's important. We're going to see that the souls, the hearts of men were the most important thing. And it's going to be real at that point. And, you know, children's ministry, when people are back in, you know, quote unquote in the back, they're talking to children and forming their hearts for God. That is, like I said a while ago, To turn a child to God when they're little. Man, to walk in the truth of God and to find out, to go the way God wants them to go, to turn them for a desire for God, there is nothing more important than that. Nothing. Thank God. God has given mothers an ability. Just, you know, moms and grandmoms, you know, just do not ever discount the influence you have. Just realize you are affecting history when you go forward. Your family line will forever, just imagine a tree going down and the one intersection is you. Everybody below that is going to be affected by you, by your influence in your child's life. Everyone. Right now, it seems like, oh, I don't have that much time. We don't know how long it is going to be before Jesus, you know, comes back. We don't know that. But, you know, you look hundreds of years ago, there was decisions people made. And now it looks like a long time since those decisions were made. And there's all these people that have come back from that one person, from that one couple. We're just further down. Everybody below us is going to be affected by our decisions. And in those times where it looks like, you know, it's not worth it, or, you know, you're not being thanked or whatever, just realize you're shaping the next generation. You're shaping your children. Your children will rise up and call you blessed because of your decisions.